Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, The Predator stalks its way to the top of the box office. We're going to break all that down and find out who won this past weekend's box office bet. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we... About the box office that lie ahead.
Yay.
I'm Frank Moran.
Hey, how's it going? Carrie Lane here.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Oh, and of course, making us look good, sound even better, is Brianna in the booth.
Hey, everybody. Sorry.
She's like, what? Look at that.
Yes. So, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And as always, wait there, give it a thumbs up. Or two. Or three. Four.
Three,
five.
Jamie Reed.
How many? And, of course, feel free to hop in the chat. We're going to have that up and running as well. But, Carrie, if they're watching this after we stream live, what can they do?
Y'all can comment down below.
Beautiful. Bye. Yeah, so let's just jump right into it. This past weekend's top five.
Yes.
Coming in at number one, I don't know if there's much of a surprise there, but The Predator came in with a nice $24 million, a little underperforming. Certainly Fox was looking hopefully around a $40 million payday, but didn't quite turn out that way.
But they also got some bad press right before release. So
yes, there were some issues there with
all press is good press because everybody's been talking about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
in that way. Well, yeah. Because then they weren't talking about it before, and now they're like, so did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, I went and saw this.
Yeah. Okay.
And it is an okay film. It's a nice, like, little B-movie while you're watching at the beginning. But the third act is a lot of trouble. And even the filmmakers will admit that, too. Because the original ending they wrote for the script is not what they got a chance to film.
Why? Mm.
They had an idea for the film that they wanted to reach out for an actor to come back. And
that Schwarzenegger?
Actor, yep.
And he's like, nope. Yep.
And he read it and he said, no, if I were to do this, I'd want to be more in the movie than just,
no
coming
cameos
in towards the end.
For him.
Yeah. So, but had he come in, that cameo, well, hopefully, if the film had done fantastic, would have set up a sequel. And then I feel like he would have been a great way to do that. But perhaps with Schwarzenegger, he's like, No. I don't know how much longer I have. I'd rather, if I'm going to be in a film, let me do it now.
I can respect that. I think some people weren't fans of Ghostbusters, the latest one, not the reboot, but whatever it was. Because we did have Bill Murray in a little bit and Dan Aykroyd just for a little bit. I think even Ernie Hudson just a little bit. I think people wanted a little bit more, but even just a nod. But I could understand why he was like, I just want to do more. Like, don't just, like, kind of throw me in there. I get that.
Yeah, that, out of all of Schwarzenegger's various franchises that he's done, it feels like everybody naturally thinks of the Terminator. It's like, if we're going to do a Terminator film, we got to have Schwarzenegger in.
Yeah.
And the Predator franchise, even though everybody loves that first one, nobody really thinks like, we got to have him. But I think you do. I think it would be cool to have him more involved in a Predator film. I mean, certainly you've got Danny Glover in the second one. And then you've got Predators with Adrian Brody and Topher Grace. But I feel like if I gave that script to Schwarzenegger and he said, I rather would have been more involved, I think I might have rewritten the script.
Right?
least try.
Yeah.
If you really wanted him, you would have been like, okay, you know what? We'll make this work. Let us help you help us.
Yeah. Yes. I would have loved to have seen to have Dutch back in the Predator film. Would have been really cool. So that didn't happen, but the studio also had some thoughts too about how the film should end as well, so they had to do some reshoots as well. And the last third is, it turns into a big hunt and chase and action fights and stuff, and it is tough to follow on some parts. Like Sterling K. Brown, he disappears at the end of the film.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, and even I was like, what happened to him? So I had to go online afterwards and kind of read. And some people had said what they thought happened to him. And maybe it did, but it was edited so quickly and so poorly that I couldn't follow it.
Good. If you don't know, that's not good.
Yeah, it definitely, I didn't feel like it was like definitive. Like I was like, so maybe if I were to watch it at home where I could actually pause it and go, wait, is that what happened in that? That really rapidly cut scene there? Okay. All right. That was what happened. So, yeah, it's a shame. I mean, and you set up this thing for what could potentially be a sequel, but I just don't think it's going to make it. Mm. So, which is a bummer.
Was it funny at all? Because that one scene I saw at Comic-Con was a slightly comedic, but in a weird, uncomfortable way where, you know, I
you're like, am I supposed to be laughing?
Was it the Keegan-Michael Key stuff, like on the bus?
Not on the bus, in the hotel room or the motel room or whatever.
Oh, with Olivia Munn and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. After that, is it just like the tone just is different from what we got?
Well, Stardew in the chat makes a good question. Is it just as bad as Boo 2?
Stardew, nothing is bad as Boo 2. I would watch The Predator a bazillion times before I'd ever watch Boo 2 amid the Halloween. Okay. That's some scary business. It's getting close to that. Almost that 1 year anniversary for me of seeing that really, really terrible film.
You should celebrate it by watching it again.
Oh, man.
The first one is on my queue because I was supposed to watch it.
Yeah.
But still sitting there, you know.
Way to go, Carrie. Yep. Way to go.
I watched Kin, though, which you all mentioned for me, which I saw that one. If you hadn't heard what I said, I thought the pacing was a bit slow, but overall it was still kind of cool and... it's entertaining sci-fi and like action adventure thing.
You're incredibly forgiving.
I didn't have high expectations. I just was kind of like, "Wow, what's this movie?" And there's interesting potential, and then certain actors in it where you're like, "Oh, where's this going to go?" And then we'll see. Which I don't know if they'll make a sequel, but it sets it up that maybe.
Yeah, all right.
Or I'd want to know more about that world.
The Predator was also the subject of our box office bet there, and. Well, I came in second, or no, I came in third place. According to Star Drew, so kind enough, as always, to keep us abreast about who was winning and who was losing on the box office bet. Since we don't have Neil Plumley here on a regular basis, who is our box office bet statistician, to keep that all down. Yes. So, go ahead, Amy.
Star Out of the Maze first eight. I think I won.
Yes, Amy, you're out of the maze.
Good. Second, Frank. So then Tony lost.
There you go.
Guess so.
Good.
That's probably why he's not here this evening.
He's he's like, nope.
I've got to go see The Predator. I'm gonna honor my box.
No, I'm pretty sure he saw it. I don't know if he did, but for the horror movie news, there was a post for it, and since he's the lead on that show, I would think maybe he did.
He's doing his due diligence.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two for this week's top five is The Nun from Warner Brothers and New Line, another $18.2 million.
Drop 66%. Woo!
Not surprising.
Yeah, I did. That's one that I'm like, I'll see it maybe as a cheap matinee. I'm like, maybe? Because I've seen the other Conjuring Universe films. But...
Wait, what is it called?
The Conjuring Universe.
You're welcome, guys.
But it would be a shame if this became the kind of franchise where it's like, we can get you a great opening weekend, and that's what we're going to rely on.
Yeah.
And so we'll just keep churning things out, and the quality will kind of reduce, but as long as it gets a great opening weekend, who cares? I'd hate for it to become like that.
Yeah, I hope they get better, because, I would almost argue the second Conjuring's, I almost like it better than the first, but it's a different kind of scary. Like, the first one's just haunted house. The other one is, like, there's multiple monsters, essentially, which was like, ooh, that's interesting. But the Annabelle's, they're okay. Did you see something else?
Yeah, I think I've seen all of them. Yeah. The Nun was all right. I talked about it last week, but there was a lot of jump scares. I think what they need to focus on is instead of just marketing it, which they did a really good job with that, just make it good, too.
If you could also.
Only, just both. Yeah. Both together I think would be great. Because the word of mouth was like not that great.
I do like how you make it seem like it's so easy. Just make it good.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think like people liked it, but they didn't love it enough to tell people you have to see it in theaters now.
Mm.
So that's what they need to work on.
Not on our list, but Mandy's getting a lot of excited about it.
I'm excited. I haven't been able to see it, but I'm excited.
It's been a long time since you've actually been able to say, oh my gosh, it's a Nicolas Cage film. Yeah. I'd be down to see.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Coming up for number three this week on our top five at the box office, A Simple Favor from Lionsgate, a little over $16 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one I saw. Yes. And, here's the thing. I love Blake Lively. I love Anna Kendrick. I recently found out about Henry Golding. But I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. So it was interestingly kind of funny.
Okay.
And I don't want to say what it's like exactly, because then I feel like I would give away the plot. But it's a murder mystery meets, like, not dark comedy, but a little something that's, like, funny. I don't know. It was surprising.
Is it rewarding?
Movie gesture terminology.
Like, what, how it all unfolds?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. And I think this is honestly one of Blake Lively's better roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, okay, so just thinking off the top of my head, some of her more well-known roles, at least recently, The Shallows.
Green Lantern?
Green Lantern, yes.
And then she did the Age of...
Adeline!
Yes.
Oh, that was a good, I didn't see that one. That was a good
one. I didn't see that one.
It's a romantic movie. And you
I know,
didn't
right?
see
I
it.
Feel like I should
It's
have
more
seen
of
it.
A romantic drama, though. It's not really a comedy.
But here's the thing.
But it was a good one. That was one where I saw the trailer and thought, and then how they explain, like, she lives through time. It's actually really interesting. It was a good one.
It kind of reminds me of Captain America.
A little bit.
Just, you know? Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, no, like with this, sometimes she plays those roles that are just, how do you say this? Not whiny, but a little too like, you know? And this one, she's not like that at all. So we get to see a little bit of Ryan Reynolds and Van Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of that. So that was very interesting to see. And it's really good. It was surprising. And everyone in the theater was laughing. And just kind of, like, commenting throughout. It was really nice. It was very interactive. I don't know if it's going to be that interactive.
But is that what you're looking for in a film? Do you want it to be that interactive?
We talked about this last week. Do you remember? I think it was last week where the guy kept just being like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's not interaction. That's just annoyance. During Peppermint, this guy, every single time Jennifer Garner would kick butt, he'd be like, I don't see
that's
how
obnoxious.
That's funny. Okay. But no, like, in...
Did you like Peppermint?
A simple
side note.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted more action.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I liked it.
But yeah, cool. in a simple favor, I think just, yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to describe. I really.
No, tell us. The less we know, the better, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And I think everyone will enjoy Blake Lively's role in this, not just females.
Mm-hmm.
Chat. Yeah, I think it's different. And I think you should watch it because it's cool. And the music, the soundtrack, I had to listen to it afterward because I was like, what is this? The sound's different. Yeah. It's
cool.
Good. Oh. It's good. It's surprisingly good,
well,
I would say.
All right. Coming in number four, White Boy Rick from Studio 8, $8 million. Starred Matthew McConaughey, based on a true story.
Nope. Didn't see that one.
No, I didn't see this one. Did you guys have any curiosity to see
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, okay. I was interested.
The trailer seemed kind of interesting. But I feel like it's one of those, like, oh, I'd be kind of curious, but I think I would be curious enough to wait until it came home and it was on my TV.
Yeah. No, I didn't get out to movies because my dog had surgery Friday and I work Saturday and pretty much here most of today. So I'm like, nope.
But would White Boy Rick have been the first thing you would have?
Well, I was looking at Predator or Simple Favor.
Yeah.
Like, just something... I went for Predator in terms of just simple action kind of movie. Like, that's all I wanted from it. And Simple Favor is just one of those that's going to be really good or it's just going to be kind of eh.
No, it's really good.
Really good. Okay.
See, it's funny because, yeah, for me, it was between those two. And I had already not heard good things from The Predator. I was like, you know what? I want to have a good time. So I'm not going to watch The Predator.
Some people are talking about Searching. Go see Searching. Searching's in theaters, and that one's really good. Did we talk about Searching on this yet?
We have many times.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you probably don't know. Carrie Lane talked to the director, not only at the Asian Pacific.
We had the producers come in.
Yes, at the film festival, and Tony talked about this last week.
Yeah.
About them coming on to Horror Movie News.
Yes.
So, yes.
Not on this list, but I saw My Hero Academia Two Heroes on Thursday. So the new My Hero Academia movie.
Very nice. We'll hold that for 1 second.
Oh, yes.
We'll just run out our top five first. With Crazy Rich Asians coming out from Warner Brothers, a little $8.7 million.
We have two Henry Golding appearances.
Yes.
In the thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at that. Look at that. And so, yes. So, Carrie Lane off our top five, but yes.
Yes. Sorry. I was just really excited. No, I went to an event working on my red carpet footage from that. It was hosted by Funimation, and it is So if you've never seen the My Hero Academia show, you could actually watch the movie and still enjoy it. It's just kind of a side plot thing. But they kind of have a couple of recaps on important parts that, yeah, if you had never watched, like, I'm assuming you've never watched this anime. So you could walk in and watch it and totally enjoy it. Kids would like it. And I think that's a great idea because then anybody could watch it and still enjoy it because they have, like, moments where it recaps. But it's not boring recaps. If you've seen it, you just sit there go, yeah, yeah, I know. Move on. But if you have watched it, I'd say maybe just watch, like, the first season because then you're like, oh, yay, so-and-so appeared. Oh, yay, it's that person. And that has more meaning to it. It's some really great action. It's definitely some funny parts. It is the dub version. I watched the show sub, so it was a different experience than for me because I'm like, I am not used to these voices, though they are all very talented people. And yeah, I think it's really cool. If you're into My Hero Academia, the show, definitely recommend it. And if you've never watched it, it's still a pretty cool anime movie. And then if younger audience too, but it's not kiddie. It's not a kiddie, like, little kid anime show.
Well, look at that. But yeah. Yeah, I know it's got a limited run there from like September 25th to October 9th or something.
Yes, they are doing that. It's like 500 theaters across the U.S. And stay tuned for Red Cart interviews on that. I'm like literally was outside, came back in here, and I'm like, I'll go back. But yes. Well, Wellington, it is because we love films that we go watch stuff. Or we cover it with red carpets too.
I did want to add really quickly a simple favor. With Blake Lively. So I did want to touch on this because we usually just talk movies, but Blake Lively, yeah, of course, is in Gossip Girl. I didn't want to let my like whole like freak flag fly because I freaking love Gossip Girl. So
never watched it. Ever.
No, it's okay. A lot of people haven't. That's why I was like, eh.
Hashtag but first world problems. Too many shows.
It's hard. I know Frank has for sure.
Yeah, why? This is the type of network, kind of place where it's built about letting your freak flag fly.
This is true, but I thought we were just talking movies. But, yes. But I'm going to bring in the TV part of this, too, because there are certain Serena aspects in Blake Lively's character, Emily.
Okay.
So if you like Gossip Girl, you will certainly like A Simple Favor, I would say.
And as always, yeah, as Amy said, it's got a lot of this. I love this.
It's something that just can't be put into a word. For people listening,
she's doing interesting hand gestures.
Yes. You should watch as well and
Edgar
comment down below.
Alves in the chat says, My Hero Academia is amazing. Yes, if you've never watched the anime, go watch it. It's on Hulu. It's a really good show. And it's actually interesting, too. Side note on that. There's so many, you know, superhero movies. It's an anime, but the hero aspect is very similar to ours. And the creator of the manga really admired our superheroes as well. So, and his favorite superhero is Spider-Man. So I was like, yay! But yeah, there's interesting parallels there, and there's actually a hero that's very, like, American.
Very cool.
And, yeah, anyway.
Oh, well, make sure you check it out, folks. Mm-hmm. Speaking of films internationally as well, our international numbers, we've got The Nun conjured up another 33.1 million in its second weekend in 62 markets. That's a 58% drop from the record-breaking opening and brings the offshore total to $143.6 million and $228.7 million globally. The Predator faced off with the Nun and came off to a $30.73 million start. Basically, the Nun is currently in about 74% of the international marketplace, while Predator is just about 55%. Now, the R-rated sci-fi, The Predator, comes 8 years after 2010's Predators, which did best in a combination of Japan, the UK, Russia, Australia, and Germany, finaling with $75 million. Mm. I don't know if this one will do as well. And basically, after 2 weekends, The Nun is the highest grossing title in the Conjuring universe in 18 markets, including Romania, Spain, Ukraine, the UAE, Indonesia, and Brazil.
I was going to say, I'm like, what? Really?
And it is the top WB title in of 2018 in 19, including Poland, Indonesia, India, the Philippines, Argentina, and Brazil.
Hmm.
Elsewhere, a bunch of other milestones are passed this weekend at the box office. The Meg passed $500 million worldwide, as well as Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation.
Your favorite movie.
Holy cow, that thing will not stop.
Wow.
It keeps going.
Comes back from the dead.
There you go. Ant-Man
it's a zombie.
Wasp. That's right. Put a stake in it already.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp buzzed across $400 million internationally, becoming the 14th Marvel Cinematic Universe title to do so. And overall, the Walt Disney Studios 2018 global box office has now surpassed that of 2017 with $648.1 million through today. That is the second biggest year in the studio's history.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're, you know, into that kind of stuff.
I guess.
Yes.
Whatever, Infinity War. Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
So, of course, we did our box office bet on The Predator. Anthony, you know, if you're still alive, you know, we'll look forward to hearing what your thoughts are on that. But that doesn't mean that there's not another chance to do another box office bet to see what other film we can do this coming weekend. And that is for two films that you're going to get a chance to choose from in the chat.
Are you excited about one of those?
Yeah, I'm freaking excited. Yeah.
One is The House with a Clock in Its Walls from Universal. 3,300 screens with Jack Black and Cate Blanchett.
That's not the one you're excited about. No, I didn't think you were. I am. It looks super fun.
And the second one is Life Itself from Amazon Studios on 2,500 screens with Oscar Isaacs, Annette Bening, Olivia Wilde.
So excited.
Because Dan Fogelman knows how to really just get into our hearts and really just mess with us.
That's true. This is Us creator. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Mm. I've never watched that one either.
So okay. Those are the two films that you can consider for your box office bet. Feel free to start chiming away in the chat with your vote, and then we will choose the one that has the highest amount of votes to do our box office bet at the end of the show. But in the meantime, we like to do a little box office rewind. Beautiful.
Look at that. Good
job. Yay. Sorry, Neil. You can't
keep up. I'll get better, guys. It's fine.
We like to do a little look back at somebody that's in one of the upcoming films this weekend. And if that's the case, since that was the case, I went with Olivia Wilde. There you go.
Remember Come seeing on. Her in if the you guys OC. Watched House, 13, man.
What about the OC, guys?
The OC?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah. But, you know, she just hangs out in the actual OC. She's in that orange curtain, man.
Stop. In the show?
Yeah, she was on there for
half
a season, I think. Yeah. She was hooked up with Misha Barton's character for a little while.
Oh, my God. Wait. Stop. Quick little story. So I finished watching Gossip Girl, right? Immense fan here. And then I was like, I need something else that feels exactly the same, but like in a different location. So I just started watching the OC.
Oh.
I'm on the second season.
Well, get ready.
I didn't know she was in it.
Get ready.
Is crazy.
Oh!
Oh, my gosh.
Life is good for Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Yes. That's exciting.
So for Olivia Wilde, we'll take a look back at her top five box office films. Coming in at number five is In Time from Fox in 2011.
It had so much potential. Like, it was such a cool concept. I remember seeing the trailer, like, oh, this looks really cool. And then I finally saw it, and I was like, okay. I didn't feel like it was a waste of my time, but definitely was one of those, like, oh, you could have been so much better. But it's super LA film. Like, everything you go, I know where they are. And that was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is frustrating when you see a premise that's really exciting and then it under-delivers.
Yeah. It felt like, and I love sci-fi, so it just felt like, can we have more?
But that doesn't that make you, when you watch it, like, I want to just do this film, but just do it better?
No. Oh. I couldn't say what was not enough in it, but it was just one of those, like, enjoyed it, but I wish there was something more.
All right. Number four, The Change-Up from Universal, 2011 as well. Big year for Olivia Wilde then. $13.5 million.
I don't think I remember which one that was.
I can't remember The Change-Up. That was...
Where's the picture?
I feel like that feels like a Vince Vaughn film for me. I don't know if that's true.
The Change-Up.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I feel like I don't know. That sounds...
Oh, it's...
is it with Vince Vaughn?
No, the Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds drift apart over the years. Lawyer, family man. He's avoided that, and then they envious of each other's life. Drunken binge. They find they have somehow switched bodies.
Whoa!
Yeah, there you go. It's, you
okay,
know, an adult version of
maybe
the...
Freaky Friday ish.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant to say.
What did you say?
Sorry, wrong Lindsay Lohan.
Oh,
Bear Trap?
That could
Bear
be.
Trap.
It was just like that.
Yeah.
Just like, it, sorry.
Yeah.
Coming in at number three, Year One from Sony back in 2009, that Harold Ramis directed film.
I think I did see that.
Yeah, with, what's his name?
What's that
Scott
one
Pilgrim.
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of these I'm like, I just need to see the poster.
Here's the thing.
Oh, it was kind of funny because, I think she was like a princess or something like that. Like, there's the caveman and she's this beautiful princess something. wasn't that funny, but I think I thought.
There you go.
Well, yeah, no, I did.
Number two is Cowboys and Aliens from Universal back in 2011 as well. Man,
yes,
2011, she was going big then. $36.4 million. That film disappointed me.
Same thing. It has really cool potential, and then you're just... Only thing, though, I associate with is at Comic-Con at that time when it came out, they were promoting it, and they had this thing where they had a live Twitter event where you would be following them, and they're like, meet us on the corner of, like, K and 4th, and then you sprinted there, lined up in a line, and then you got a paper brick, like, the gold brick, and you opened it, and inside was either a t-shirt, the, like, gauntlet arm thing that he has in the movie or something like that, or you won tickets to the premiere.
Oh.
Needless to say, I got a ton of those arm thingies and a couple shirts. And I still have the shirts.
I went to the premiere there at Comic-Con.
Oh, yay.
It wasn't fun. You're well, one, a lot of free popcorn, so that's always great. Mm-hmm. But to do the premiere, even though it started like at 6 o'clock.
Oh, you had to be there really early.
Oh, and that's, and you just sat in this room for almost, you know, 5 hours.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That was miserable.
But you Sky really... Patterson says, I'm watching Cowboys and Aliens right now. Interesting.
All right, Sky. Nice.
Yeah, another one. It had potential and... It was okay, like cool action sci-fi.
I enjoyed Daniel Craig tremendously, yeah. And I was excited to see what Harrison Ford would do in this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was a film that came out. coming in number one is another film that looks beautiful, but still kind of underdelivers on it. From 2010, Tron Legacy, $44 million.
I think it performed better, though, than what I expected on the other ones, and I do really like the original as well. But that one, I think Tron, though, the visuals and the music make it amazing, and the plot's a little more like,
If the plot had just matched
right?
the then quality, it would be phenomenal, because it is really cool, and that's like, I feel like the first time that you really got to see, oh, wow, they took Jeff Bridges, and they kind of de-aged him? That's cool. Awesome. But
it's a little weird, but yeah.
Well, true. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, they're still kind of at the forefront of that technology, but you just wish that the story had been able just to kind of land.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it is.
And the soundtrack so cool. Good.
Yeah, Daft Punk is fantastic.
I roll my eyes like, so good.
Yeah, it's, and well.
Did you see Tron? Have you seen the original? I bet you haven't seen the original. Okay. You've seen the original, right?
Yeah. It's, okay, I mean, yeah. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's a slow go. Oof.
The original one?
Yeah.
It is a slower pace, but it's cool.
Yeah, so this one, Tron Legacy is another one I feel much the same way that you're talking about, where it's just awesome premise, and it just, oh.
You're just like, just a little bit more. Like, a lot of these movies are at, like, the 80% where you're like, yeah, it was cool, I enjoyed it, but you're like, but I want you to be, like, at least a 95.
I feel like this
is a little bit more.
Yeah, I would agree. This is a film that I think people now look back on it and are more forgiving because they think they remember the visuals and they remember the music. But if you were to really go and watch it again, you'd be like, no, why? Why aren't you better?
Wellington points out that Tron Legacy is 8 years old already.
It'll be 9 years soon.
Wow. Thank you for bringing that down.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a certain kind of pattern with these top five movies that Olivia Wilde has been in. And I feel like most of them, if not all of them, were just... Oh, it had so much potential. It just didn't.
That's true.
So I'm excited.
I'm like, all of these were.
Yeah, I'm excited for Life itself because I feel like it's really going to give her a good chance to, I don't know, like live up to, I think, what she can do as an actress.
I would also say technically all of these are sci-fi.
And it feels like Life itself has a little bit of a sci-fi that, overlay in it, at least from the trailers.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just in the scene where Oscar Isaac's this guy going back into his memories.
So, that's so like Dan Fogelman-y.
So I don't know. I don't know how that is constructed. Whether it's just
okay.
That it is just a visual conceit as they're talking about an incident, and then it's just being visually represented, or they're using some sort of technology to that you can kind of broadcast your memories. I don't know exactly.
Have
what's
happening. Have you ever watched This Is Us?
No.
Okay. So
I certainly,
it's, you would say it's very, that's what
it's,
they do.
Okay. It's what they do, but I'm curious to see how they do it. I never thought of that.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
Great. Well, besides, I mean, technically, even the change-up, you could say sci-fi, like switching bodies. So all these are sci-fi films that potential, but not great.
Yeah, well, we know we're, what Olivia Wilde's all about. She's all about that sci-fi, man.
That. All about House, man. We figured it out. Go watch her on House.
All right, so before we do our box office bet and keep chiming away there for the two films under consideration, that is A House with a Clock in Its Walls, as well as Life Itself, we'll start doing our top five for this.
I saw some votes already.
Oh, all right. What's the, can you give us an early spoiler?
I saw more on the house.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, of course, we've got the house with the clock in its walls, Jack Black, Kate Blanchett, on 3,300 screens from Universal. Life itself will be on 2,500 screens. Do we see either of those, which I think won't be a problem, either one of those knocking out the Predator from top spot?
Yeah. I feel House with the Clock in the Walls, one family film, wins major points. Get everybody to go because it's not, you know, too. Is that, wait, is it rated PG? I think that one might be.
That one is actually rated NC-17.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's, it is. And also, it's you know, family friendly and based on a book series. So, going to win major points with people.
It's, have the previews and the trailers suck you in?
I was like, oh, I'm all for it. Like, I love the kids' family movie stuff too. And like the magical aspect looks very fun. Fantasy? That's what they call it. Fantasy.
Yeah. Mm. It's comedy, sure. Family, fantasy. It's PG.
PG, yeah. So there we go. Definitely full family film. One, gonna go see.
All right.
You're not that interested
in it. I
wanna see it. Are you, Amy?
Whatever, guys. I'll tell you how I feel about it. I'm scared that you guys are going to pick that one, but whatever. I don't care about it. All of the trailers, I'm just like, okay, that's a really long title for a movie, but I get it. It's based off of books. I get it. Yeah. But no, man.
What is the aspect that's not sucking you in? Like, kind of like you know, somebody learning about a world of magic and they're kind of getting...
No, I love magic.
This? Yeah. So what is it about this premise about somebody kind of discovering a world outside their door that's much bigger than they ever thought?
Maybe it's just the trailer, the way, like, the scenes that they showed. It wasn't, like, exciting at all. It's just like, oh, cool. Like, we've seen stuff like this before, you know?
Does the casting of Jack Black excite you? Well, not excite you?
It looks very much like Goosebumps.
Very true.
Okay, maybe that might have a part in it. I didn't grow up with Goosebumps.
Dun, no, dun, no, dun. But like, did you see the movie Goosebumps?
No, because I didn't grow up with it. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay, but cool. I didn't
because he acted in that, and yeah, Stardew says looks like it was giving me some of that vibe. Like he seems like a similar quirky character.
Yeah.
Some of the comedy though, I'm curious to see how it'll land because in the trailer, some of it's funny and some of it's. But the basic concept and the look of it, that's what I'm excited. So not even the style. You're like.
My favorite Jack Black character is in School of Rock. If there's any of that, that'd be cool. But I don't know. It's just not exciting to me. But I want to be proven wrong. But of course, you know, with two movies coming out, I definitely want to see Life Itself. Easy pick for me.
Okay.
Having never read the original book that it's based off of, I'm hoping that the Jack Black character is... not necessarily like the bumbling buffoon who like he's like he knows magic but he's kind of a goof.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that he has his act together more. And there are comedic moments in there, but it's in service of this guy's got his act together and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Fully developed characters would be nice, not just like kind of stereotypes that you're like cool, you know.
But after seeing Jumanji,
he was amazing in that.
I feel like I'm more receptive to seeing another Jack Black film after seeing him in Jumanji.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, let me...
Did you see Goosebumps?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't really suck me in when I saw the trailer. Yeah. I'm like,
that's fine. I read the books. I have the complete original collection.
Nerd.
Because they have... I'm proud of that nerd. Because they have, like, the regular set, and then they had, like, a Goosebumps 2000 series, and that's when I was like, so I don't have all of those. The movie was cool, and they definitely pull lots of random bits. And he's very fun in that. But he's not quite a bumbling idiot. But he's a little more on the absent-minded professor of, you know. But that's in Goosebumps. But it's a little bit... Because the idea is his things have been taken or, you know, his books have come to life. So he's a little bit not disheveled. There we go. But it was fun. It's cute.
That's not... I'm it's a cute one.
Yeah. Wow.
That hurt me to say.
Steven goes, Jack Black was great in Jumanji. Yes, he was.
All right, so which do you see out of Life Itself or The House with the Clock in its Wall taking the number one spot?
House.
Do you see, how far up do you see Life Itself going? Can you see it number two,
You know,
three?
This Is Us fans are hardcore, so it could go for number two, I think.
And I would think that the disappointing reviews of Predator could knock it down considerably, so I would not be surprised.
I think they could take one and two, and I just put House first, if only because again, family film always does well, and no family films out right at the moment. So,
no, White Boy Rick, that's a family film.
Oh yeah, totally. Steven, I'm with you. Nacho Libre was boring. I saw that as a test screening for an audience. I was like, eh. Yeah. Did you like Nacho Libre? Did you see Nacho Libre?
Okay. I don't like those kinds of characters.
So I could see it being the house with the clock in its walls, Life Itself, and then I'm just going to go straight down The Predator, then on A Simple Favor.
So you agree at House Clock?
Actually, you know what? No, I think I'm actually going to go with the House of the Clock in its Walls, Life Itself, The Predator, A Simple Favor, and The Nun. I think The Nun will drop off. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. Done.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to do the box office bet. Again, we're going to be betting on a film based on your votes there in the chat, whether it is The House with the Clock in its Walls or Life Itself. We'll be betting on what we think the opening box office gross will be, and the winner gets to bask in the glory of being prognosticator or prognosticators. The loser, of course, will have to go see the film and tell us all about it. So, I usually know that Ken Jack loves to give us a little total if he's around in the chat. So, as we're waiting to get a final total, we will then assemble our respective bets. Mm-hmm. We'll see who can win.
Ken Jack says House on the Clock won the bet unanimously.
Oh, yeah. All
cool.
Right.
Thank you, Ken Jack.
It's a clean sweep.
Well, we all said number one, so yeah. Let's see what we all think number one would be.
True. I mean, and certainly the first in a prospective series of films, if this were to mm-hmm. do well. So kind of tough to gauge since you really don't have anything else to compare it to. But all right. Again, 3,300 screens.
Well, let's see. Let's look up what Goosebumps made. Mm-hmm. Like, because someone asked that question. I was like, that's a good question. Where's the movie?
Well, I also feel like it's been a while since we've had a family.
Good family. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and kids have been in school for a while.
Box office like for Goosebumps. Oh, this is not opening weekend. I'm like, well, collectively, because it just says box office. It says 150, but I feel that's like total.
Yeah.
Does not specify opening.
Oof.
Stuff.
I'm not dialed in enough to the series. Like, if it was a Harry Potter,
I've never heard of it either.
Fantastic Beasts, that'd be like,
yeah.
I just don't know how beloved this series of novels are to make you think.
But
that
again,
fan
family film like magic and stuff. It looks fun and the kids.
Well, yeah, but also, I mean, I'm not to say it's going to be a bad movie, but still, is it enough to like do bonkers at the box office on its opening weekend
to bring people in right away?
Yeah, I mean, the trailers are interesting and intriguing, but I'd never heard of the franchise. So there wasn't like, oh my gosh, they're finally making the book. Again, I'm not dialed into reading that novel. Mm-hmm. So maybe if there were...
Okay, something else kind of interesting, because it's family. It is directed by Eli Roth.
That was... I remember watching
Which I'm like,
that.
Yes.
It does seem interesting.
Which feels like a weird fit for him. But that's why I'm like, ooh, I hope... Even though it's PG, it would still be like a little scary in there.
I mean, he passed up on directing The Meg, and now he's doing...
I mean...
Walls. But he also wanted to star in The Meg, so... That's all right.
Some people in the chat, I think I saw 30.
Yeah, I'm having...
Oh, interesting. It's an old book. I was curious. So it says, based on the 1973 novel. So that's going to be more parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, not necessarily the kids who've read it, unless their parents... You know, got it for them as well.
I think.
All right, I'm gonna go. I keep typing and retyping, but I keep gotta go back to the number I did first. Oh boy! All right, we all locked in. Up, Carrie Lane. No peeking, Amy Cassandra. Martinez.
I already put it.
I probably went higher, but that's okay.
All right, Amy Cassandra, you were so you slept that phone down with authority. What
well,
is your bet?
Whatever. 22.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm scared by your reactions. I'm terrified.
No, Zaya says that's... 20. Ken Jack says 22. Right there with you.
I know. A lot of you guys were saying 2022. I don't know.
Reading yours, I see you better. I'm jealous of it.
Thank you, chat room. Levi says Goosebumps opened with 23.
All right, all right. What's yours?
Then I went way too high. I said 38.
Wow. I love it. Terry Lane, yes.
And you're in the chat, says 28.
Ah.
Yeah.
I am right there with that person. I did 28 as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Where? Dang it.
But no. I feel I can
Stop
respect
it,
your
Frank.
Bet.
Whatever.
I can respect your bet.
It's, you know, I want this movie to do well. I just don't want to lose, too. Whatever. You know, this is our life. It's okay. I'm fine. I am fine. It's not that big a deal.
I like how you just make it like we endure doing this.
it's a tough job, but someone has to do it.
Yusuf says 18.9. It's very specific.
I was going to say 18 also, but I was 22.
Well, now that Carolina said it's from a 1973 novel, I do get worried. So,
like it would be lower because then it's more apparent.
Yeah, that's why then all of a sudden I hear Amy's $22 million bet, and I'm like, that I could buy that one a little bit easier.
But people love Jack Black.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be the pull.
That too.
And it looks cool. I mean, kids will probably be like, Mom, Dad.
People enjoy Jack Black, but I think people enjoying Jack Black, I think that time is a little bit in the past.
Okay. If you want to be a teacher's pet.
There you go.
School of Rock, man.
That's right. The movie that Amy lives by.
We'll find out when it comes out.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Of course, as always, thanks to everybody for joining us in the chat. You make it so much more fun to do the show. We couldn't do it without you. In fact, we wouldn't have a Box Office bet without you. But as always, like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up, or 2, or 3, 4, however many you'd like to give. And if you're watching the show after we stream live, Carrie, what can they do?
You guys can comment down below.
And if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show is over, Amy, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at AmyCassandraMTZ, and let me know your favorite Jack Black movie.
I'm sorry, what? Where can they find you?
Oh, but he's not here. Okay, all social media at AmyCassandraMTZ.
Nailed it.
Oh, you guys are the best.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And I agree, that would be the comment. Leave a comment down below your favorite Jack Black movie.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I would say comment down below about what other gestures that Amy Cassandra can use to start describing how she likes movies.
Okay, yeah, but keep it like PG-13. Guys, let's keep it civil here.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here next Sunday night with another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Right here on Popcorn Talk, go see some movies.
See ya!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.